I know, the F-18. Though
he lives still in the aircraft carrier all the time.
Yeah. Well,
he's hanging out in the ready room that's going to be ready in 2 weeks.
I'm still there.
Just room, not ready.
My wife comes up. What are you doing? I'm in the ready room. Shut up.
Waiting on the boys to get back.
Yeah. No one's here yet. Just shut up. You're going to ruin it.
Rob's the only one in the ready room, though.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on my friends.
Yeah. I do have friends. I do have them.
Eastern Group now turning cold. Angels 12. Bogey Dope Western Group.
285-43, boss.
Okay, I go well south of the line, 14 miles.
Red 9, Slasher 02, copies. Clear to engage. Need your
clear. Clear to kill. Clear to kill. He's a man to
send out. We're here. Not just white automatic. We're here.
Mindy, let's come hard left.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Air Combat Sim Podcast episode. I will insert the number later in post-editing because I do not know. But we have all the usual suspects, which has taken, as usual, forever for us to form, you know, Voltron and put all the parts together. But Happy New Year and belated Merry Christmas to each of you.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us.
We just completed our interview with Nick from Heat Blur. So we'll be sharing that here in a few minutes, but I thought we could also just kind of catch up and see what everybody's been up to, particularly in the world of combat flight simulation. So Tricker, I know you sort of took a little bit of a hiatus for a little bit, it seemed, from playing DCS, which I think is healthy. Mm-hmm. I think we all have to do that, particularly those of us who fly for real life. And as you and I've discussed before, like sometimes the last thing you feel like doing coming back from a trip is pretending to do work, basically.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're getting back into it.
I took about a 4 to 5 month break. And
was it really that long?
It was good. Yeah, it was pretty long, man. I took a nice break and was just playing other games and having fun with other people and, you know, trying to reach out to other communities, and it was fun. But I'm back and I'm back flying, you know, the F-15 and looking forward to the F-4.
Yeah, we played a little F-15 the other day on stream, didn't we? I forgot about that. About a month ago.
That was about a month ago now.
Yeah, still.
But no, the F-15 is awesome. I love the F-15. The only thing I don't like about the F-15 is the targeting pod. Like, I don't know. I feel like I can't tell what anything is in the targeting pod. I see like a different pixel, and I'm like, all right, that's a target.
It's dookie. But by design, I don't say that like they did a bad job on it. It looks like what it's supposed to look like, but it's an older generation, so yeah, it is tough to kind of figure out what the color
lightning,
you're seeing.
You've got the lightning is going to be better, and it's almost done.
Yeah.
So it's coming.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I've never heard that before. I'm sure it's right around the corner.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Okay, look.
Ah, damn it.
Put your freaking phone down. What the hell is that?
That's the weirdest. What is that? That's the weirdest porn I've ever heard.
Yeah. Wow. Who is that?
That is Joe Kid Rock.
That was his boss. That was his boss calling. Why are you drinking at work?
Sorry, guys. Brother-in-law. So, yeah.
That's impressive.
Oh, okay.
Mute.
I got podcasts to do.
Put your damn phone down.
So Lightning will be out in a few weeks.
2 weeks.
I am looking forward to some more advanced weapons with the F-15 in the air to ground world. I don't know if do you have anything on that, like Mavericks. It's getting Mavericks, isn't it?
It's getting, yeah. I mean, later on, not now, but I don't think it's been used by the U.S. Air Force, but it's capable of doing so. Mm. So it'll be there.
And yeah, I really like the F-15. It's just it's a fun aircraft, and I really enjoy the terrain following. And just,
yeah, well, it sort of bridges that gap. Like we were just talking about with Heat Blur, it's not analog, but it has sort of a analog feel in some ways, you know. I enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun. So you've been playing it then, Rob?
I have, and
which is surprising.
Yeah, right. I never plays.
He's a Navy guy through and through.
I know the F-18. Though
he lands on the aircraft carrier all the time.
Yeah. Well,
he's hanging out in the ready room. That's going to be ready in 2 weeks.
I'm still there.
Just room, not ready.
My wife comes up. What are you doing? I'm in the ready room. Shut up.
Waiting on the boys to get back.
Yeah. No one's here yet. Just shut up. You're going to ruin it.
Rob's the only one in the ready room, though.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on my friends.
Yeah. I do have friends. I do have them.
So what were you going to say, Rob?
Oh, no, I was going to say that what's been fun has been my, you know, in the whole thing with my kids, they're 9 now. I can't believe they're still growing. I thought they would stop at some point. But they actually, they walk up and they go, hey, can I fly? And I put them in there and they're pretty good. And I was like, oh, you know, you got to do the throttle so that if the wind, you know, you get more speed. My sister, yeah, I know. The wind goes over the plane, lifts, gives it lift. And he's just like, tell me to shut up.
Wow. Shut up, Dad.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, I'm dead.
But boy, I'm telling you, they're growing. They're having a good time on the DCS.
Wait, I know how it works, Dad.
Yeah.
Wait till he's about to turn 18 like mine. They know everything. Every goddamn thing there is to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the F-50, and I think some of you guys know this. I actually joined one of those virtual squadrons because I enjoyed the F-15 so much. And the problem I have is I like to play multiplayer. I don't like to just fly around by myself. And so these guys at the 51st had reached out to me a while ago, and they wanted me to join, and the schedule just wasn't good. I was like, I don't have time for this. But I had been thinking about it, and so they actually talked to me again on stream, and I said, you know what? All right, I'm going to just do it. So I joined them, and I've gone through some of their training things, and I've gone on a couple of the missions. But it's added a lot of enjoyment to DCS for me to do that, because it's not me having to build everything, which I kind of felt like it was, but two, you know, and it's not like overly structured. Like they have training, you know, and they have sort of positions, but it's not like mil sim type stuff where it's like, you know, or call me sir, you know, and crap like that. I'm 15. You're going to call me. Like I was like, I'm out the first time I see any of that crap, but it's then none of it. But it's been a really good experience overall. So, for those who are kind of out there looking for the multiplayer environment, you're looking for just a little bit kind of more, I don't want to say next level, but a little bit more organized type stuff. I mean, look into like the 51st or some of those other groups that are out there, because add a different flavor.
I've been looking at, you know, I met these guys a while back at the from the Virtual Armed Forces, and I did that one episode with them, and they're fantastic. It's just got to get the time to do it.
That's the hard part.
You know, and again, they're not so serious about it, and they're super nice guys. I mean, really nice. My wife had some surgery. It was very, I didn't appreciate it. She, you know, gallbladder. I'm like, how rude of you to have a gallbladder problem during the holidays. But these guys were super nice. They reached out and everything else. But even if my wife is rude about it, and I, you know, so, but yeah, no, I, if you're interested, you know, there's definitely some good groups out there to sign up with.
Yeah.
And Rob's wife is not in none of them, so.
No.
No, she's not.
Not that I know. She's going to meet me in the ready room. I told her to meet me in the ready room.
And BD, what are you working on?
This is what's good catch-up session.
What's the newest campaign?
I'm still working on the Gamblers, the F-16 one. Which is almost finished, but it's still not. But like the real life, like it sucks because it takes lots of time that you normally would have for DCS if it weren't for real life. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
What? That's for the Kola map, right?
Nah. No, Kola map.
No, it's Syria. The Gamblers is Syria.
Kola map is another one. It's getting together nicely. The Kola map is really cool, and we're doing it with the Reflected. So I'm doing the F-18 for the like Finnish Air Force. Right. And Reflect is doing it for F-16 for the U.S. Air Force. And it's going to be fun.
It's going to be out next month, right?
2 weeks.
That's cool that you guys are working together, though.
Yeah. No, he's a great guy. I really love him. Yeah. I mean,
I've talked to him a couple times. He seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, Greg's cool.
He's doing great.
No homo. I haven't heard that in forever. Wow.
Should we cut it?
That made it all the way to Europe? We used to say that shit all the time.
Yeah, it did.
No homo, man. Man, I haven't heard that in a long time. Sorry.
So about the gambler.
You were the last person. Sorry.
So gambler. So it's with Rain.
Yeah.
And I was, because in a lot of these missions are based on his, you know, the missions that he flew, right? That he took notes on.
So it's like we kind of split it. So first 7 missions are based on his experience. And then we do like a second deployment, which is 2017. And we do very nice missions, like interesting stuff that happened really, really then, like 2 years after he was there. So it's kind of, all is based on real life stuff, but it's kind of in two different or separate parts.
I was chatting with him. I said, man, you need to get with BD and actually record some episodes where you're actually talking about the things that happen to go along with the campaign. Mm-hmm. I thought that'd be great.
Yeah, that's the plan. I think we'll do it at some point.
What's the next campaign that you're going to work on?
After those two, I think it'll be the Raven 1, Part 3, which will be a training campaign for the F-18 we do with Hoser and Gerald. It's going to be fun. Mm. So the idea is to do it like, you know, I did the Iron Flag for A-10, but it was not really realistic because the instructor pilot tech talking to you all the time, which doesn't happen. And then we're thinking, how can we do it? And Gerald says, well, I used to talk to myself all the time in the cockpit. So the idea now is just to have the player talk to himself on what to do next. Like,
yeah, it's your inner monologue.
Yeah, exactly. And then it works fine. It's nice.
Okay.
I do that all the time.
Exactly.
You can do it. You can do a tricker.
I do it too, and it weirds the captain out every time. Just weirds him out. I'm like, okay, now I'm going to go vertical speed. He's like, what are you doing over there? Hold on. Shh. Talking. Yeah.
Just talking to myself.
Fly the banana. Yeah.
Start saying lines from Top Gun.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You saw that they were doing a Top Gun 3?
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Probably.
I don't know where they're gonna go, but
what? Yeah,
It's gonna be where they kill them.
I thought it was gonna be like the Space Force or something.
It's gonna be where they kill them.
They're gonna kill
them.
Kill Maverick.
No, he's gonna fly his P-51. That'll be the scenario, because last time it was like we can't use a fifth generation fighter because MacGuffin, and now it'll be even bigger MacGuffin, and the only way we can do it is now he has to be retired because he's goddamn 80. And it's like, he's got a P-51.
I think they got the Louis Gossett Jr. back.
No. Get him back.
Gossett Jr.
It's going to be aliens come in to invade, and then Tom Cruise goes in his P-51 because it's the only jet engine aircraft that's not.
Yeah, they're going to EMP somehow and destroy everything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then he's
see.
Yeah,
man, we should be on the marketing team.
Our Funko Pops are already made.
We should make a movie.
Yeah, we should make a movie.
And then they'll kill him.
Yeah, and then they'll kill him. No. I'm sure it'll be visually stunning. All right. Well, we do have the interview that we should lead into with Nick from Heepler, talking about the F4, talking about the A6 very slightly, and just having a good time. So enjoy. Welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on.
Thank you. I'm Cobra, Nick, founder, CEO of Heepler, I guess that's the fancy title. we've got a bit of a zombie Cobra / Nick with you today. We're right in the run-up towards release candidate build, so long hours, long days, long nights, lots of coffee, I think that's about it. We're just grinding away at trying to build some cool experiences, and hopefully we'll manage.
How long have you guys been working on this, though?
Good question. Coming up on 3 years now, I think. Maybe something like 2.5. I would have to take a look in the calendar and exactly tell you. Though, it's also a little bit hard to pinpoint because we kind of staffed up for this project. So, beginning, you know, 2 people, and now we're something like 5-6 people, full-time employees working on it. So, and that probably happened somewhere about a year and a half in, where we were at like full rate production. It's ebbed and flowed. The Ukraine war actually kind of cut the staff working on the project in half for quite a while. These kinds of things have happened during the project, so it's ebbed and flowed, but about 2.5 to 3 years.
How long did it take to work on the F-14?
Also very difficult to say. I would say if we had full rate production, maybe 1.5, 2 years, maybe, and then like the whole thing, maybe 4 years, something like that, or 4.5. Yeah, that would be a ballpark figure.
Okay. So you're still, you know, so you've got the F4, you've got the F-14, and you've got the Viggen, right? And in most cases, you're still actually working on all of them, even after post launch, right?
Yeah.
And then, and as far as in terms of your effort, like for example, I saw a few weeks ago, I think people were a little bit frustrated when they were waiting for the TARPS pod to come out on the F-14. But was it gonna? Besides the fact it was gonna show up there, was it supposed to do anything?
Not in this initial release. We're working on the gameplay layer to it right now. We have in the Viggen, we have something called the Elint kind of system that we did way, way back, where you kind of can fly around and your pod will triangulate the locations of radars and stuff like that. For the TARPS, we'll do something like, I'm not sure how much of this will actually make it in, but we'll do something like, you'll get like a photo, and we want to try and, you know, do stuff like, you know, the Intel guys have circled the units. We'll see if that works out. We might just do like a list of stuff that's identified in the photo. Some interesting gameplay stuff like that, where it actually makes sense to put it on the jet, fly it, and then you can kind of brief your squadron or whomever else. But also in like a more, if you're just one person flying on a multiplayer server, where you can do something fun with it even without feeding somebody else the intel. So some gameplay layer has to happen there, for sure.
Yeah, sorry I took us down that road. I just remembered
yeah, no
you
worries.
Showed up the other day, and I was like, well, but so as we look at the F4 and the F-14, am I correct in that some of the systems for the F-14 were combined with the F-4? Or am I mistaken?
I would say the inverse. So what we decided to do, So what we kind of decided to do was, let's create a bunch of new stuff for the F4, and let's make the F-14 a beneficiary of those things. Not all of them, because we it's really easy to get into this situation where you just spin your wheels on something you've already released and just keep adding stuff to it. And that's not a bad thing for the community and people who love the aircraft and that kind of thing. But in the end, we have to also move forward at the same time. So some of the stuff will come back from the F4. And we've got plans for some of the stuff from the F4 will come back to the F14. And of course, we've got plans for the F14 beyond what it is now, whether it's a BU or a D, whatever it is on the roadmap. So we'll definitely be making quite a large effort to get as much of that over as we can.
So just to clarify that, you are suggesting a D.
Got him.
Yeah, I won't commit you. I got him.
Yeah.
Just joking. It's fine. It's fun teasing.
Everybody wants it.
Everybody.
What's the difference? Well, I don't know the difference. What's the difference?
The BU is kind of like a Frankenstein but extremely capable upgrade of the normal B. So you get the Sparrowhawk HUD, you get the big P-TIT screen in the back, you get precision munitions, all kinds of fun upgrades, GPS nav. But it's still kind of like, I guess I would describe it as kind of maybe the Phantom upgrade versions, like the ICE and AUP, where you kind of take MFDs and you bolt them into an old airframe. It's kind of that style of thing. Whereas the D is a much more comprehensive upgrade, and they've replaced the radar and most of the avionics and so on. The issue with the D is the lack of data, especially on sensors such as the IRST. A lot of key pieces of data are kind of missing or very difficult to piece together in a nice way. So we'd love to do it. It would be probably it's quite a dream project for us, I would say, but it's very difficult to pull off.
So what is, just for the average person who doesn't know much about any of this, what is this F4 going to bring to DCS?
Very good question. In many ways, perhaps nothing spectacularly new, ironically. Perhaps I'm not selling our product very well here, saying it's
well,
just
no,
boring,
I don't. I mean, yeah. Well, no, I mean it. Look, all the jets kind of all do the same thing, so I don't think people get hung up on necessarily a capability as much as nostalgia. I mean, for me, you know, growing up, the F4 was very cool, and you know, oh, I don't want to fly that when I grow up. So you got the rule of cool already going for you, but just in terms of capabilities and what it does, and there's been a lot of discussion that, you know, I think Enigma said the way forward for DCS is to go backwards. And I agree with that. Like, let's go back in time and explore that stuff, because the opportunities to do cool stuff in something like an F4 in that era is, in my opinion, greater than the people that like, oh, I want an F-35. Like, well, why? What, to do what? Like, that sounds very boring to me. Whereas the F-4, it sounds like you really got to get into some hair-raising adventures with it. So in terms of that, it is something new. But I just talk about, like, what it does specifically as a module and what kind of, you know, neat tricks. And obviously, it's going to be multi-crew, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm half-joking, obviously. With it, that it doesn't actually bring anything. I mean, first and foremost, I think it brings the experience of flying probably the very end of that pure analog kind of era of jet fighter, and especially the most complex type, where even we have been surprised frequently at the complexity of the F4, actually, and how intricate and deep some of the systems are, despite not being very computerized. And that brings with it actually quite a lot of challenges. It's a difficult to use and employ airplane, I would say, in comparison even to something like the F-14 we've done. Using the radar, those funny images people put up of interpret the smudges kind of stuff, they're all very true. It's very much like that. And I would say that the gap between kind of skilled operators and non-skilled ones will be even bigger than for something like the F-14. It'll really be quite a large difference between the people who are really proficient, especially as a crew with Wizzo and pilot, versus the guys who just fly it now and then and kind of, you know, go into some of the simpler modes. So it really brings that that really end of that era, and you really start actually, even in the sim, you start realizing why more computerized systems and more kind of automated things became the norm, because you even in the sim you start running into limitations of kind of crew proficiency, so to speak, and task saturation, or however you want to call it. So I think that's probably the most fun aspect of it. And then, you know, it's just a visceral experience to some degree. If you're prone to motion sickness in VR, don't fly in the Wizzo seat in multi-crew, because it's the vomit comet at that point. You don't see anything up front. You know, the world's spinning around you.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I even got nauseous on my 2D I was developing the other day. I had my head into a panel, and I was just rolling the aircraft, and I even got nauseous just from that, because you have very little reference. So it's just an interesting experience from that point of view. I think it's just, we kind of joke that, you know, you should smell the aircraft, and it smells like rust and old oil and mechanical devices, right, basically.
But speaking of the multi-crew, are you bringing something like Jester back, or there's some new idea for the AI backseater?
Yeah, that's a huge lead weight around our neck, Jester AI, and having to build this virtual human in the back that has to do everything that a human can do. We really went a little bit crazy with Jester AI this time. We kind of rebuilt him completely on a more scriptable kind of API, so people can extend him themselves. And we're hoping people will create some cool functionality and contribute that. But overall, we're kind of aiming for the same thing as in the F-14, just that we've tried to think a little bit more about How can we make him a bit more future-proof? How can we... Because Jester in the F-14 is very tightly intertwined with the aircraft. And, you know, it was our first go at it, and it's difficult, I can tell you guys. Building AI is tricky as heck. And especially under the pressure of time, everything became very intertwined with the F-14. So that's something we've also tried to keep in mind this time, to make him as agnostic of the aircraft that he's sitting in as possible.
So just a quick question about about Jester. So for example, you guys brought that circle together where, you know, it really as the key as a UI for the interface. How did you guys come up with that? And is that going to persist into the F4?
Yeah, we've upgraded it a little bit. So we've tried to not block as much of the screen this time around. As for the design, I'm not sure. What's the saying? Everything in art is stolen. I guess we we just looked at some other game with a comma rose system and went, yeah, that's going to work, I think. Some of the ideas are kind of came up during development, like the one where you kind of aim at the comma rose with your head. Those things tend to bubble up, especially when testers and outsiders get their hands on the module and cool ideas start coming in. So this time around we've again rebuilt everything, so we've also rebuilt that, so now you can actually click it as well, so it's mouse interactive, which is something people were asking for, and hopefully this refreshed version works just as well. That's the hope, at least.
As long as he doesn't eject on his own.
He does, but we've tried to make it
it's a feature. Yeah.
We've tried to make it a little bit more lenient this time around.
Delete it! Delete it right now while you still have the chance. I don't need him to eject. I don't care if he dies. He's not real. Okay. Teach their own. That's fine. So the aircraft is, as you said, it's going to be more graduate level flying just because the challenges of the air. I mean, look, newer aircraft are just easier to fly. Just the reality of the situation. Even in the civilian world, Chirker's seen that graduation as he goes from smaller planes and now flying the Airbus. It's probably a lot easier to fly than it was flying a Cessna. When I fly a 300 series 737, it's much harder to fly than the 800. So we're looking at aircraft that's, you said, it is analog or it's got some MFDs in it. Is that what you said?
No, it's fully analog, this one. Yeah.
Okay, so this one's fully analog. Obviously not going to be fly-by-wire or anything like that. Is it challenging to take off and land? Is it got any idiosyncrasies to it?
I would say anyone who's familiar with the F-14 and how that feels, this is quite similar in that sense. But I would say it's actually easier. It's probably, people are going to probably find it overall easier. The reason for that is it's a slatted wing E, so they kind of eliminated a fair bit of the characteristics that made it a little bit trickier to fly. It's still, again, it's still visceral. It's still an old school third gen powered brick. So don't get into trouble because you're gonna have trouble. So to speak. Overall, I think a little bit easier than the F-14 in some respects. I think it's probably a little bit trickier to employ in a combat scenario. You don't feel the envelope as well as you do in the F-14, for example. I think a lot of virtual pilots are going to get an R-73 up their tailpipe from MiG-21s and other adversaries. So it's very interesting from that respect. And I think one of the most interesting things about flying it is when you start mixing it in with some of the kind of more modern aspects or features it has, like laser-guided bombs and the Pave Spike targeting pod, because it becomes much more of a... difficult thing to handle at that point. You have to really wrangle the aircraft while also wrangling these very early weapons and targeting systems. And that's where that extra layer of difficulty comes in as well.
So I had a question about the weapons, since we're talking about the weapons. I know the Shrike's coming, the Bullpup, and the Walleye. Are all of these going to be available like day one? And are we going to be able to use it together as a crew?
Yes, yes. All those should be available, plus plenty more. LGBs and the Pace Bike Targeting Pod, and of course Mavericks and all types of bombs and other ordnance, and rockets, rocket pods, gun pods, all kinds of fun stuff. Fairly standard and basic stuff that folks are familiar with, but a little bit different to employ in a two-person crew, some of them, for sure.
And then the Shrike, I'm kind of interested in that. Isn't like DCS, or not DCS, but Eagle Dynamics, aren't they creating that, or are you guys creating that, or...
They
forgot what was going on with that.
No, so we're creating a new kind of EW/RWR system for the F4, and parts of that will hopefully make their way into DCS as a whole. And we've tried to kind of increase the level of fidelity and depth to the simulation of that side of things, if you will. But it's a very broad topic, as you're all very much aware, with a lot of things that there's no real information on. But it is a big part of the F4, especially because of things like the Shrike, where, you know, you would have seekers that would be tuned only to specific radars or weapon systems. Mm-hmm. And so that layer of gameplay is hopefully going to be in there. And then, of course, you've got the earlier RWRs, as well as in the one we're making here, where it has, you know, the handoff mode and the kind of sound tones that play through your phones based on the PRF and all the other things the radar is doing. And we've tried to do as much as possible there, so we're taking into account, you know, things like the rotation of the radar. Is it, you know, you can hear it kind of rotating and spinning, and we've created a new system to synthesize all the sounds needed for that, with kind of all the jitter and the PRF and all the kind of quirky effects some of the radars make. Some of them have very unique sounds, like chirping tones and weird things happening. So we've really tried to create something a bit more comprehensive there, and the Shrike is a part of that.
That's really interesting, because I mean, as you talked about, you know, like every radar has a different tone for the RWR, so I would love that technology to come to other products, but that's awesome that you guys are doing that and setting the standard, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, hopefully it turns out good, and people enjoy it, and it becomes a good solid part of the DCS whole. I think we all benefit from third parties contributing to the base platform whenever possible. So whenever we can, I mean, it's great. A rising tide lifts all boats. So kind of why not? And yeah, there's never any guarantees, of course. Maybe we've made some major mistakes and everybody scrunches their nose once it goes out there, but hopefully not.
You mentioned this is the F4. The release is going to be for the F4E. Is there a roadmap for other versions of it?
Yes, there is. So we'll be doing Naval Phantoms for sure, but as a separate module after we've finished the E's. The reason for that is there was actually a thread on Reddit just today, actually, about, you know, why we're doing that. Seems a little bit greedy. But the reality is that they are very different aircraft inside. Actually, if you look at the cockpit, everything except the canopy frame and the canopies, you can throw that in the garbage and rebuild the rest, just from a visual perspective. But just from a utility perspective, I mean, the later Navy Phantoms had, you know, look down, shoot down radar, these kinds of things that will also change the way you fly the Phantom. No gun, so it'll just change things a fair bit. And we just want to make sure we do it justice. And just economically, it's unviable for us to do it as one kind of package module. So it'll be happening. We haven't chosen the exact versions yet, but the J and S are the leading candidates because of their similarity to the E. So looking forward to that a lot, actually.
I got to say, I did like the way you guys did the pre-order for the F4. Because then we get the Meteor soundtrack and then a cool t-shirt. So I appreciate the possibility of getting a nice cool t-shirt from you guys.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you liked it, for sure.
And Tricker, I'm sure, got a smaller size to make himself look big.
I did. I got a smaller one to make my muscles, you know, pop out a little bit more.
Very good.
I was a little disappointed. Little disappointed there was no, like, briefs or underwear.
Oh, yeah. I'll put that on the list for next time. But I have to tell you, the Souls Imperial, which is the base shirt we use for the shirts, it's a very tight cut, so you'll look absolutely fantastic. Ooh,
perfect. Send is some it photos, really short, please. So my belly sticks out? That's what I want. That's what I hope for.
Oh, you want a crop top?
For the underwear, make sure for Tricker to get an XS size.
Yeah, extra small, extra small.
Yeah. You can do that with the Intruder. You can have Intruder underwear. Well, speaking of the Intruder, what can you tell us about that?
Oh, not much, I think. it's been a long time coming, and we kind of put it at the end of the roadmap after all these other Phantoms and Eurofighters and things. And the main reason for that is that we kind of wanted to solidify the new Jester before we went down that road fully. Hopefully that was worth it, putting it at the end of the roadmap and dangling it in front of people for so long and annoying everybody. Unfortunately, that's not really intentional, but the AI version is at least making its way to DCS very soon. And that's very important because, again, that's something we've been promising for quite a long time. And in terms of the module itself, we essentially are kind of through the F4 working on the base and core technologies for everything that will go into the A6. So we're through the F4 essentially working on the A6 in a certain sense. It's still up in the air a little bit on what exact version it'll be in the very end. There's some similar ones at the very end there where they would upgrade a couple of the airframes towards the end of the life, and there's a couple, there's like one version in particular at the very end. I think only about 100 aircraft were converted in the end. I forget the name of the version exactly, but it's the most capable one. But again, data becomes the chief limitation there. But if we can do it, we want to, because it's also about providing as much choice to players and as much gameplay opportunity as possible. So the more weapons players can use, the more fun it is, really. The more gameplay hours everybody can get out of it and enjoyment everybody can get out of it. So hopefully we manage to get everything we need for the broadest possible experience.
You're saying the AI version is coming pretty soon?
Yeah.
I hate to keep bouncing back and forth here, but you know, it's always exciting to talk to you guys. But the F4, one of the things I really like is I saw in the video where you could actually click on something and like it would bring up a manual. Or can you talk about that? Because I think that's a pretty interesting
topic. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the biggest and most difficult things we've actually done for the F4, I'll go on a little bit of a tangent, but we basically decided that we wanted to integrate some new kind of UI technology into the module that would allow us to do a little bit more new features that we haven't really been able to do before. Anything related to showing more information on the screen in an interactive way in particular. So we'll have some interactive checklists, for example, where you can cross things out, not on launch, but it'll come very quickly during EA. That's just one small example of something we haven't really been able to do before. And the clickable manual, so we tend to make interactive manuals these days, which are just basically web pages that you can search and navigate. And we realized, well, that's a perfect use case for this, right? We can display our manual in game, and nobody has to alt tab in and out or print stuff out, really. Mm-hmm. And then again, it's this kind of bubbling of ideas that happens when you start adding stuff to the product. And one of the ideas was like, hey, what if we have a hotkey where if you press a switch, it brings you to that exact thing in the manual, so you can immediately read about it. And it kind of clicked. Like, we were like, oh, that's a we're doing that, no matter what it takes or how long it takes. We're doing that one. So it's just a fun little thing, and unfortunately, this particular feature with the UI stuff has been really difficult to do and has put a lot of pressure on our head and added a lot of risk to the project and the finances and everything, more than we ever expected. So hopefully it's something people will use and enjoy. I hope so, at least.
I mean, I think so, because I mean, there's a lot of times I fly the F-14 and, you know, I don't fly it enough sometimes. You know, like I fly other aircraft and then I come back, you know, a couple months later and then I forget certain things and I'm like, what does this button do again? And then I got to find it in the manual or find a quick, you know, YouTube video or, you know, something. So that's really helpful.
Yeah. I think it's a good addition.
From my point of view, interesting question is, are you going to include some kind of a campaign with the F4 training missions? What's your plans on that front?
Well, I don't know.
Pitching this, by the way.
We're discussing, Hinnika. Yeah. yes.
This is also the virtual meeting for the.
This was all a trick.
Yeah, so we'll definitely be doing at least one campaign. It won't be available on launch, unfortunately, but we will have a slew of single missions and stuff in there. So there'll be content from day one.
And there's going to be training missions too?
Yes, full suite as usual. Perhaps not for every single weapon or every single scenario, but at least for hopefully all of the basics and the basic weapons and these kinds of things.
That's good, because Dricker and I need content, so just do the basics.
Excellent. I mean, I haven't made any content in a while, but yes.
Looking forward to seeing some
maybe this
content.
It's
going to be great.
In fact, if you send us an early copy, then we'll get a whole bunch of content made for you. But you know, anyway,
Continue. It'll happen. Don't worry. So we'll certainly have those things, and one of the biggest things is the barrier to entry to DCS. So of course, having the training missions and all these things is key. So people can learn in a nice way. And of course, for missions themselves, as Baltic Dragon knows, you always want to do more and tell more interesting stories and do more rich narratives in the game. And you know, maybe people will laugh at me, but you know, things like Ace Combat exist, which you know you've got cutscenes and you've got. I'm sure we've all played Arma or you know, Call of Duty and all kinds of games where cutscenes and narrative storytelling is a part of it. So that's something where we have some interesting tech ideas where we can hopefully push things a little bit further, especially relating to this kind of UI tech I just mentioned before. That's the hope, at least. So if we can do something more interesting and rich in kind of the missions and the campaigns, then I hope we can achieve that. But the baseline will always be there for sure.
Talking about campaigns, you know, you got to start up your aircraft, and I noticed that you did have the simulated crew chief. Can you explain a little bit about the simulated crew chief?
Sure. So it's turned into quite a big feature in a certain way, which hopefully, again, people will find enjoyable. But the crew chief. At a base level, you will at least interact with him in order to get stuff like ground power and electrical power. So instead of going through the F10 menu, you go through our comma rows just like with Jester, and you go, you know, he hooks up the start card and the and so on. Mm. And then we've got a fair bit of functionality beyond that, which is modeled based on what real crews would do. Primarily things like control checks. So you can run a control check with your crew chief. So, you know, you'll actuate your ailerons and your flaps and things, and the crew chief will sound off whether everything looks good, for example. So in general, just kind of hoping for a more immersive experience during startup as well. And, you know, the idea is you hear... You're talking to the crew chief and Jester's in the back telling you he's aligning this and that, and it kind of just hopefully turns into a more immersive and realistic experience of how the startup would work in real life. And again, it's in a way it's a bit of a role-playing thing, because the chance of your flaps not working on a fresh cold start spawn are basically none unless you have random failures on. And you get really unlucky, so that won't really happen to that extent. But hopefully your immersion is increased, and you'll enjoy it, and you'll you'll get a better understanding of what it's like to start these aircraft up in real life and run the checks.
Yeah, I noticed that you guys did like laser scanning for the whole entire aircraft. Can you discuss a little bit like where you did that at? Or
yeah, we did one in Slovakia, a German Phantom, and we did one at March Field in California. Great museum. Did we do more? I think there's various bits and pieces of F4Cs and stuff like that for some gear stuff, where the E in Marchfield was a little bit too worn down, where we needed a couple of things. Primarily the cockpit is from the Marchfield California jet though, so that's what we're modeling things based off of primarily. The German one in Slovakia was a great example of quite a pristine aircraft. So the Germans take good care of their aircraft in the sense of it was babied, you could tell. It was pretty babied, so to speak. Very freshly, nicely painted and these kinds of things. And they had just flown it to Slovakia and put it under the roof there, and it's been standing there, and it's been fairly sheltered from the elements and all kinds of things. So it was good to get an idea of both. The March Field one is, of course, standing out in the desert, so it looks apocalyptic inside, but the Slovakian one was fairly pristine, so we got a good idea of what it actually should look like. And in the end, we built the whole aircraft, the whole cockpit and everything, and our SMEs went, oh, that's way too dirty anyways. So there was a lot of cleanup regardless. But yeah.
Will you be doing some different versions of cockpit, like a worn-out cockpit, a clean cockpit, factory cockpit?
Yes, we will. Though I won't say too much right now because I'm not sure to what extent it'll happen, but I want to, yes, definitely. And hopefully it'll tie into the kind of wear and tear and quality system that we've built into the aircraft, where if you're riding a warhorse, it should look like one. If the glare shield is wobbling a lot, then you know it needs a tune-up in the MX, so to speak. So,
you know what you should have? I just thought of this. This is completely stupid. You should have like a little spot for like a picture, but you can actually upload the picture that you want. So I can have a picture of Tricker. Like, ooh, in his Heatler shirt.
Like I'm inside a heart.
Right.
Like you do in your real airplane.
Yeah, like you, like I would, yeah, exactly, like I do at work. I just put a little picture up. It's, but, like, I don't know, just, I thought of that.
No, it's like Goose tapping a photo of his wife there on the fuel gauge every scene. Yeah.
Well, instead of like a picture, you could put like one of those hula girls.
Mm. Oh, yep.
And
with some physics on it.
Or like a Funko. You know something Funko. With the wobbly
yeah,
head.
Yeah, yeah.
Tricker, we need Funkos. Wobble we need head. Our own like yeah, channel we Funkos. Know, we know. God,
exactly.
This,
there we go.
I'm so full of good ideas. No. It's ridiculous.
I think you should put Tricker by default, like a Tricker in every airplane.
Yeah. I like it. Comes with a free Tricker. And if you click on it auto-directs to his channel.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Play some audio, too, a few voice lines or something. It's perfect.
Nice. I like
See, this is why the Phantom isn't out yet, this level of feature creep. So I'm going to spend the next 3 days working on this, and I'll blame you guys.
We actually just delayed the F4 by another 3 months.
Just 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For useless features.
No, but speaking of this, you also have this new system of a pilot where you can customize the pilot, right?
Yeah, that's coming after we launch into EA because it is a can of worms and a half. you know, if you can choose your head, then you have to change the helmet for every head. It's miserable. Not change the
so
helmet.
So it's like starting
but,
a new
know.
Game of Skyrim. You have to like change like the skin tone and the hair. Nice.
Exactly.
He's just standing there akimbo. And you have to
that's, you know, I'm not sure how much Arma or Operation Flashpoint you guys have played, but you know, one of the most fun things, it's like Barbie for men, kind of like you jump in game and then you're standing there picking out hats and vests for like 3 hours. And then you're like, and then, you know, it's the whole, hey, can you hear my gun? No, I can't. Can you hear mine? No. And somebody has failed to install some mod and it all unravels from there. But the point is, it's fun. I think it's really fun to be able to customize, quote unquote, your character. It's something I enjoy a lot in games. Yeah. And just like the gesture dialogue wheel, where we're hoping to make gesture a more interactive experience where he asks you and you have a two-way dialogue with him, the same way the character customizer hopefully will tap into that same thing where it pulls in things from other games, RPGs in particular. So Skyrim is actually a great example. And I think if you look back in the 90s at games like, you know, Wing Commander and stuff like this, like, they would have a lot of these features of like other games in them. And you know, that's something that Flight Sims, I think for me, one of the biggest things that's missing in Flight Sims is that kind of thing where it feels more like a game in certain respects rather than a sterile cockpit environment.
What would be a great thing to add, but it's not, it wouldn't work with this module because of eras, but female voices. That's what DCS needs to add into something. And we're going to do it with the Apache, and I don't know what happened with that. My wife actually recorded lines for the Apache for AI, and it disappeared. Yeah. I would love to see that, but I would love to see that, you know. But obviously with the F4, the time period, it just, I don't think there was any, you know, female pilots flying those. But, there's something, I don't know,
but
back
it
your
is
mind
something,
if you do something in the future.
No, we have experimented with using AI. Actually, to convert the existing gesture lines into a female voice, and it works shockingly well. It really does. Hmm. There's actually people who have done it in the community too, but they've done it based on the compressed, like we apply like radio effects to the voice and stuff, and so they've used those files, right? So the result is worse. If we use like the raw files, people can't tell that it's actually we used AI for it, and it's just tests. You know, I'm not saying we're gonna do it or anything. We've just been testing around with it because it adds like a whole step to the pipeline. Where, say, we add a new voice line for Jester saying something, then we have to always run it through that pipeline. Otherwise, that voice file will be missing on the female version of Jester, and so on and so on. But I think it's a missing part of the representation a little bit. Perhaps not for the F4 as much, even though I think there are female Phantom Greek F4 pilots and so on. But for the F14 in particular, for that community there, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Maybe like the F4, like crew chief, whether female crew chiefs. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Good idea.
And so, like, instead of wags saying like, "Hey, what are you doing?" Right. You can be like, "Hey, what are you doing?"
Oh well,
trigger, don't press that button.
Well, our crew chief is not wags, but yeah, so no worries.
Yeah, well, I was talking about the regular Eagle Dynamics. You start moving the plane when you're rearming. It's like, "Hey, what are you doing?"
Yeah,
classic.
So your backseater in Phantom will also be called Jester, or is it different?
No, it's just Jester. It's just Jester. And I don't even know why. First of all, Jester came into... I'm pretty sure I was drunk, sitting alone at like 10 in the evening and like writing up the F-14 announcements. And I don't know. I put down Jester on the paper for whatever reason. And it's stuck since then. I think we'll just keep it for all the modules. Everybody knows what it's about. Everybody knows he's going to eject on you, and I guess that's the that's the gist of it.
Not if you delete it.
I mean, that's probably one of my favorite things. Because you never expect it. You're not going to crash, but he's like, "Hey, we're about to crash," and he just jumps out. And you're like, "All right, bye."
I can tell you
and
guys,
you're in a convertible flying by yourself.
Indeed. I'd like it to be an option.
Just saying. It will be. It will be. This time it will be.
Okay. No, yeah. Okay. All right. Then I'm happy.
So Kazmo wants a suicidal, you know, he doesn't want to eject and save himself.
No, the context of what I'm coming to is like, let's say you're doing a large scale event where it's like you've planned this thing out and you take off and do something and he decides to bounce. Everything's off. That's like, well, what now? I don't get to do this event, or now we got to restart. You know, just kind of, it can snowball. So just on
it
an average.
It could have happened in real life, Kazmo.
Well, fair enough.
Flying with you, I'd be like, peace, I'm out.
It'd be cool. If we're going to get on a road, he could poop his pants. Like, there's that audio of the backseater that craps himself, you know, and there's like they're on a four ship. We could have that too, but yeah.
Or turn the heat off.
Turn the heat. Yeah, that's right. On? Mama in the back doesn't like it when you turn. Ding ding. Sorry, that's airline pilot humor, but yes.
Getting a little off.
Yeah.
We were talking about Jester. Can you give us like a step by step of like if you want to fight somebody, like fire an AIM-7, you know, Sparrow at somebody? Can you give us like a step by step of like how that happens?
I can't right now because that's one of the things we're doing right now, kind of up until release still.
Okay.
So it's one of the combat capabilities that we're kind of squishing in there. So it's not finalized. But
it's classified.
It's classified. Yeah, that's right. What I can say is that nice. Hopefully we're successful. And what I mean by hopefully is that, again, this is an analog aircraft and it is much harder to use the radar. And converse, and subsequently, it is much harder to code Jester to use the radar. And again, making AIs is... We're not doing any more two-seat aircraft. I'm done. Basically, that's my conclusion on Jester and all, and this part. No,
except for the intrude.
Yeah, that's a one cockpit aircraft. I've already had this argument internally after I said it, and I said the A6 doesn't count. It's just one long cockpit, so it really doesn't count as a okay. As part of this so pain.
I don't know personally, but is the F4 radar worse than the F14 radar? As in, like, it's not as capable.
It's not. Yeah. Well, yes, it's that. It, you know, it's a pure Doppler kind of radar. So it's and you don't have the computer interface to it, like the TID in the F14, where you have a synthesized view of what the radar sees.
Okay.
It's just the raw stuff.
It's raw data.
Actually. Yeah. To be fair, we're doing the DSCG version of the F4, which I lied. It does have some digital avionics, this variant of the F4. But what that literally means is that they've just taken the screen instead of like a, I'm not sure what it is, like a cathode ray or whatever the heck it was before, phosphor kind of type screen. They've replaced it with like a digital screen, you know, just like a whatever. It was. I'm not even sure what it was, actually. Joshua would have to be here to tell you guys. But it's still a digital representation of a pure analog kind of radar signal. And so it's hard to use, and it's very hard to make Jester use it. So, a lot of pain.
So more broadly then, what do you have to have Jester to do a lot of the stuff in the aircraft? Like, is it a two-person job to shoot air-to-air missiles? Is it a two-person job to drop guided munitions?
I would say, funnily enough, it's less than in the F-14. So you can do more as the pilot, and you do more as a pilot in the F-4, actually.
Okay.
And you even do some things that are a little bit surprising. I'm trying to think of a good example. But there's a couple of things where it's like, the pilot is fully responsible for that? Yes. Which in the F-14 would have been the other way around, where the Rio had exclusive control over something. In the F-4, the Wizzo has to basically, yes, you basically need him to fire radar-guided missiles using the radar. And you also need him if you're doing ground attack sorties that utilize radar functionality. Where, you know, you put your marker somewhere and that guides your bombing computer and these kinds of things. But in many respects, it is much less than the F-14, which is good from that sense.
So the pod, you can use, there's some sort of targeting pod, right? Because you got bombs.
No, so the targeting pod is one of those things where you need the Wizzo. And the targeting pod, okay. I think that's going to be one of the most fun thing for people to use because it's not really stabilized. It's got a couple of... kind of, I'm not sure how to describe them. It's not like the Lantern or any other pod in the game. I don't think there's any similar pod in the game, actually. If your pilot is, you know, even turning a little bit too fast, it's like a little video game in and of itself, keeping that reticle on the target. It's one of the most fun aspects of it at the moment. So you need the Wizzo for that. And there's a couple of other things here or there that you really need him for. But especially a lot of the air-to-ground stuff you do as a pilot fully and completely. Mavericks and Bullpup and all kinds of ordnance like that is fully pilot side. Again, aside from the bombing computer kind of mark point kind of stuff.
And so how much of that would be the AI able to do? So you have to have a real like person, Rio, or you can trust in Jester to do some of the stuff for you?
The goal is the latter part, where you can trust Jester to do everything for you. That's the target. That's where we will be eventually. Okay, so that is, I think, important distinction. Where we will be on launch day is depending on how much coffee we consume and whether any of us get a coronary in the meantime, quite frankly. You know, we want to do as much as possible, but again, doing AI and doing it well is really tough. So we'll always search for alternatives if we don't manage to squeeze something in. So, you know, there's people use keybinds in the F-14 where they kind of reach back into the rear cockpit and they've bound a bunch of stuff that, and we're not really opposed to that. And maybe if we don't manage to do something for Jester, we will even offer some kind of pre-bound way of doing that, for example. We never want to limit people just because it's a two-seat aircraft. However, obviously, pilot workload, it will be tough if you're handling the duties of two crew members.
Yeah. Well, the DCS community, I mean, I think the vast majority are single players, you know, single pilot type players. So you got to make it accessible, but at the same time, I mean, it's a two-person aircraft, so you know it is what it is, and it's trying to do a lot of advanced stuff, so that's a challenge.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be cool. The more I dig into jets and stuff, the more I do find myself drawn to more of the old school analog type aircraft, and I think the environments and the situations, the scenarios that you can come up with for those is a lot more robust than the sort of just it can do everything. You know, I like having to rely on other platforms to do a portion and then I do this other portion. So I think it's going to be cool.
Did you have enough subject matter experts for the F4?
I think surprisingly yes. For the F14 we had some folks who especially one pilot in particular that people know on the forums is Victory 205, which was simply integral to the whole thing of developing the F-14. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you'll get subject matter experts who have a long and storied history with the aircraft, but they don't quite remember the details. They don't quite remember the
sure.
Either it didn't matter or it's in the halls of time. You know, it's just it kind of goes, and that's fine. But then, when you get lucky, you get subject matter experts who remember everything, and they even remember all the anecdotes around it, or they remember some situation they were in, which can give you a little bit of color to the situation. And if you're even luckier, this particular individual will have some kind of history with or active employment in the realm of aviation currently, or experience working on simulators and these kinds of things. And then that experience gets fused in with everything else. And we've been very lucky on the F-14 that we had that, and we actually have managed to accrue a great group of subject matter experts on the Phantom as well, where that's the case. So we've been really lucky. We expected it to be less of a case, right, because of the age of the aircraft and so on. But I can't speak highly enough of the fantastic feedback we get from the subject matter experts we have.
One thing I really love is the trailer and the overwing, like textures. You know, like the vape. I think that was pretty amazing. But one thing in particular I really enjoyed was the I'm with stupid grease pencil. Can you explain that just a little bit, like what we can do with that?
You can either just draw stupid stuff, phallic objects or whatever you may pop into your head, or you can do something useful with it. I forget, I don't quite know how you do it. Maybe one of you guys knows the exact procedure, but I think it's called the donut procedure, something like that, where you draw a circle around something that you see. You both draw a circle around it, both the wizzo and the pilot, And then you can use that as a reference. So you can put that circle on some other object and go like, hey, look at, look through the donut. And you both know what you're looking at, essentially. So it's useful, yeah. But I think 99% of people will draw stupid stuff.
1,000%, yeah.
I'm going to put Kazmo's phone number on there for a good time. Call Kazmo.
1-800.
No, that's penis. Cool, though. I thoroughly enjoyed the trailer, and whoever makes your trailers is phenomenal.
Thank you very much.
Really good. One of the things you mentioned was how difficult Jester was in the AI cockpits. Across the board, what would you say is the most difficult thing or most challenging that you didn't expect in this project?
That's a tough one. It's been a very difficult project for us. If I look back, when we started the whole Phantom, we started development. I remember being in a meeting with, I'm not sure who it was. Might have been somebody at ED or somebody. And I kind of went like, yeah, it feels like we're on autopilot. You know, we're making a Phantom. We did the Tomcat. We know exactly what. I mean, it's like we're just doing the same thing, except even simpler. It's, if I could go back to that day and slap myself, I would. Give me a time machine. That's number one thing I'll do. It's been a very, very difficult development process from a lot of different aspects, both outside of the aircraft itself, so just personal stuff and illness and the war and everything, to actually some of the stuff of the aircraft itself has been far more difficult than we ever expected. And we definitely have a habit of biting off more than we can chew. Jester is one of those examples, but then the level of detail and fidelity we've tried to achieve in the project in general. We've built like up this whole component system, which is a whole new way of simulating aircraft for us, where, you know, it comes with a lot of benefits, but the amount of complexity is like fivefold versus the F-14. And that sounds very pompous. I'm not trying to be like, oh, it's so complex in comparison to everything else, but it's brought with it a lot of challenges, and I think probably that's been the biggest one, where we kind of went for a level of detail that we've never gone for before, and we don't have a producer above me. You know, I'm the I pay the salaries, so I my say goes, and I don't have a producer above me to say, Nick, this is not a good investment of time and effort. In the end, I think it'll all work out and it'll be great, and it'll be hopefully something people find great. But I think that's been the biggest challenge. We've really went broader and kind of deeper than we've ever gone before, and it's difficult to how do I put it? It's been difficult to put together, essentially, because of that. It's a very ambiguous answer, I think, to your question, but it is the truth.
No. It's absolutely fine. No, I totally get it. Every project is going to be a bit different, even if you think that they're going to be very similar. So totally understand.
We love hearing all the news you guys have to share, but I was just curious if there's any more Eurofighter news.
Not right now. We're all hands on deck on the Phantom to get that out the door. And once that is done, we will start sharing far more on that. That's another big, maybe I'll be like in whatever amount of time I'll instead of saying no more two person aircraft, I'll be like no more MFDs and head up displays or something like that. So it's usually how it goes. So I'm looking forward to that at the moment though.
Understandable.
The Heatler Cessna 172 Skyhawk.
Oh, that's
I was just about to say it.
The
extra 300.
Yeah. To take time off, we don't really fly DCS. You know, we work 14 hours a day, some of us, and we can't stand opening DCS. What we do to relax and still kind of stay in the flight sim thing is we jump on Microsoft Flight Sim and, you know, we fly like beavers down some Alaskan mountain ranges or You call them fjords in Alaska? I don't think so, but let's call them fjords. We putter around in those, and that's giving us a little bit moment of zen at least. So maybe we'll do something like that, you know, like a float plane with 5 gauges, and that's about it.
Oh, I was curious on how big the project was to migrate the F-14 over to Microsoft Flight Simulator.
That one was really big, and the reason for that is that the F-14 wasn't built in a way where it would easily allow it, essentially. So that's something you have to design in right from the start. So it's been basically a complete rewrite. But that's something we enjoy exploring, and you know, you can fly anywhere in the world, and I don't know, we just enjoy kind of spreading as much of the kind of love we have for these aircraft on as many platforms as we can. So I don't, you know, it's kind of like a lot of fun to do that, I think.
It's kind of like Tricker spreading the love.
Ooh.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's Dr. Disrespect. He has that song, Give Him the Love. Mm-hmm. But no, we appreciate it, Nick.
Absolutely.
This is awesome.
Yeah. We've taken up an hour or more of your time, so we do appreciate you coming on and talking to us about it. I think we're all in agreement that we're looking forward to Jester not ejecting, but also the F4 just in general is gonna be great. No, I really do look forward to it. I think it's great. It's a great it's got nostalgia to it, of course, and I look forward to playing around with it. So thank you very much for coming on to the show and telling us a little bit about it.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
This has been the Air Combat Sim Podcast. Music by Vampire Stepdad. Want to support the show? Check out our Patreon. Follow us on Facebook. And be sure to leave a comment and rating.
But one of the main things I don't like is, like, the vibration software. Even when I hit turn off on vibration, it still fucking vibrates.
Yeah, you were saying.
And, like, it's on my desk, like...
You sure?
And I have to unplug it, so it's unplugged right now.
You sure it's the ring wink?
What?
Are you sure it's ring wink?
Yes.